Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I'm Alex, and this week I'm joined by Chris Tilley.
Hello, pod people.
And Rich Bearpock. You've not been on the podcast for a long time.
Hello. No, I haven't. It's been before Christmas. Maybe 250.
I was going to say, before Christmas. It's only the second podcast we've done since Christmas, so yeah. You weren't on any of those.
I haven't been. Yes, that's correct.
While you are on the podcast, let's briefly address some of the issues that people have had with a few of the podcasts.
Okay.
So apparently they were skipping three or four episodes ago.
Okay, yep.
And then in the last episode that we put together, there was some drilling going on, and
yes,
there was a few cuss words.
Ooh.
Which you didn't edit out.
I didn't.
Why not?
I wasn't told that there was any.
So?
Well, I didn't watch the whole thing through, so that would be why that they're on there.
When you write a piece, Chris, do you read it all the way through before you publish it?
Yep.
Yeah,
I do as well. Actually, multiple times.
Yeah.
There is another reason as well. Gav actually edits the podcast too. So,
Are you blaming Gav? Is that essentially what you're doing?
Which episode was it?
It was the last one, the big fat...
Gav did that.
You liar.
He did that one.
Did he?
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely did.
Daniel has to take some responsibility, doesn't he? Because he's the one that noted down the time of it. So wouldn't he then take
either way, it's not my fault.
It's not your fault.
No. So, and you're the only person here.
I'll take the blame.
Well, I've not been able to watch it back because I'm too embarrassed. But I vaguely remember just getting annoyed that I wanted us to carry on talking through it rather than acknowledge it.
It was a long podcast, just like this one is going to be at this rate.
Yeah.
Anyway, how was your Christmas and New Year?
Pretty good, yeah. Pretty quiet one, actually, to be honest. Just spent the week in Portsmouth with my mother.
Pompey boy,
and... I don't know where that came from.
You just can't help it.
I can't help it,
As soon as Portsmouth is mentioned, it just blurts out.
I know. And didn't go and see them play on Boxing Day. Although I don't think it was a very good result anyway.
Yeah, I didn't realise you were a football fan.
I'm not.
Okay.
So I didn't go see them play.
So that's probably why you didn't see them play, yeah.
And then New Year's, I just spent in with my girlfriend and my friend, and that was it.
But, a threesome.
We played Monopoly and watched the fireworks.
Was it like Strip Monopoly?
What's got into you, Alex?
I don't know.
How do you play Strip Monopoly? Is that part of the community chest?
Maybe. Yeah. I'm not even going to go down that way.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That was my Christmas and New Year.
Share your chest with the community.
I will not do that.
Okay. What about you, Chris?
Lots going on. I did go to football on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah,
Crystal
I watched
Palace.
Palace lose to Southampton. I did the same. I went and stayed with Rich's mum. No, I went back to Croydon, spent it there with the family, played some games. We played Trivial Pursuit.
Good game.
Won one game, lost one game.
Good to see you keep records of how well you're performing.
Over the last 10 years, they're all up here.
Is it?
No, of course not. And then went to Venice for New Year's, which was rather exciting.
Mm. That's pretty fancy.
Went with the missus, bit of a last minute trip, 3 nights in Venice, and it was beautiful.
Did you
and
propose?
Freezing. I did not propose. Indeed, it all went a bit strange on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
We went to a party. We went to a theatre, and then they sold us tickets to the party they were having afterwards. And
yeah.
we were the only straight people at the party, and two gentlemen took a real shine to me.
Did they?
Followed me around for most of the night. They made friends with us early on in the night. Kept asking for my Facebook details, not hers, and that's when I started thinking, oh, this is a bit odd. And then they disappeared and came back again, and it turns out they were the evening's entertainment. They were shirtless, big muscly guys, shirtless with wings and see-through tights and no underwear. And they were like angels who were going around kind of just groping people pretty much. Wow. So that's how I spent New Year's Eve.
Wow.
With loads of pumping house music.
Wow.
It was not what we were expecting.
If you go to Venice and you choose that.
We thought it was a cabaret evening we were going to, but it turns out
you realised you were going to be the
They were the cabaret, these two blokes. And apparently there's something like cabaret seating in Italy means just seats around the side. It doesn't mean you're going to see a cabaret. So it's a bit...
Right. Well, you learn something every day.
How about you, Alex? What was yours?
On Boxing Day, I was going to go and see The Hobbit, but I was so hungover that I couldn't actually do anything.
Wow. So did you just drink alone on Christmas Day?
Pretty much, yeah. Started. That was my first present to myself, was a can of Tennent's Extra.
What time?
About 7:30 in the morning.
Wow.
That's not true. Of course it's not true. The fact that you thought it might be true, and I'd wrap a can of Tennent's Extra and give it to myself out of my stocking.
What were you drinking? Those little brandy chocolates all day?
I did get some of those, actually. So my father-in-law, he sometimes works in Germany, and he bought me back this magnum of like winter beer, German winter beer. That was about kind of 6%. So I started that.
And that lasted 20 minutes.
It didn't last long. Just after lunch, actually.
Wow. Just you as well, you weren't sharing it.
I gave a little bit to one of I don't know how family works, but my wife's brother's fiance. I don't know what that makes her to me. Anyway, I shared a bit of it there. So I finished that by just gone lunch, and then I had four big bottles of like quite strong IPA. So when it came around to playing... I can't even remember the game we were playing. Oh, Scrabble, that was it. It was a little bit heated. And I lost.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Alex doesn't like to lose.
I kept on going out the room. I kept on falling asleep and then coming back.
On Boxing Day evening, I made a bit of a mistake. We were playing charades with my family and my extended family. And there are a lot of kids there. And I went off and came up with all the names to put in a hat. Mm. So I wanted to make them ones that everyone would know.
Yep.
And then and that was all good fun. And then all the kids went off to do other stuff. And so I had to do a new batch. And I thought, I'll make these ones a bit more adult. So I put stuff like 50 Shades of Grey in there. Jim will fix it. Just a bit more controversial, these ones.
Yeah.
And we were about halfway through, and then the kids came and rejoined. And I hadn't told anyone that I'd done this. Oh, and I was a bit pissed, and I'd forgotten. And then it was just a bit weird when the kid pulls out, and the six-year-old pulls out 50 Shades of Grey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I ruined Christmas. All good fun, though. And now we're into a new year.
We are. Well, obviously, we did last week's podcast, but we recorded that at the tail end of 2014.
Yeah,
but now we're back. The first live podcast we've done for this year, so it's going to be a good one.
Yes,
hopefully
kickstart the year.
And I've got some news.
No, you haven't.
Why?
Because I said we're in a new one, new year, because we were going to do resolutions next.
Oh, go on then. I haven't got any.
Well, you put it on the. You
I know
put
that.
It on the
That's only because I haven't got any. My New Year's resolution is to not make it. Oh my god, it's to try and speak properly.
Come on, Al.
To not make a resolution that I then break.
Right.
So you're just not going to make any resolutions?
Yeah.
That's a resolution itself,
I guess.
I know, that's confused me.
Yeah, but then... No, but then you're not going to break it.
Why?
No, you are. You've already had one. Oh, this is hard.
Rich, have you made any New Year's resolutions?
Not really any resolutions, but we are... Well, I say we. It's you are actually involved in this. And Gav and Krupa.
Potentially.
We have mentioned this on the podcast.
I haven't committed to this.
The Chris Pratt Challenge. Yep. Is what we're calling it. So we're all trying to be a bit healthier, exercise a bit more, try and get in shape in the 6-month period in the run-up to Jurassic World. So
what's your method of keeping fit or getting in shape like Chris Pratt?
So I'm eating a bit better. I can't restrict myself too much because I love food
eating
too
much. Eating a bit better. I don't think that's what the Chris Pratt diet was.
No, it definitely
eating
wasn't.
Eating a bit better?
Yeah. Right. If I had the Marvel lead role, I would definitely do it. Properly, but
that's the whole point of this, is to try and make yourself not like, I'm just gonna get a bit fitter, a bit fat.
I'm never gonna look like him though.
Well, so okay, but that's one doomed failure. What's your method of?
Well, I'm gonna spend the next 3 or 4 months lobbying for a role in a Marvel movie.
Okay.
And if I get one, then I think I will.
Who do you think you could play?
Oh man, Black Panther's gone now, and so is Wonder Woman. Oh, that's not. So is Captain Marvel. Oh no, Captain Marvel. Yeah, I'll be her. Carol Danvers.
There you go.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What's your method for getting your body?
You got the part. It's March, and you've just been. You've got the part. What are you going
to
do?
Well, wait for the nutritionist that Marvel issues to come round, and the personal trainer.
It doesn't sound like you two are taking this seriously.
I'm not. I don't even know if I'm going to do it.
Okay.
It's all been a bit slapdash, I think. I thought everyone...
As indicated by Rich.
I thought we'd all get together and like do the measuring together. The measuring?
That sounds like something you used to do at uni or something.
Doing a bit of exercise as well, though. You know?
Yeah.
Not just eating.
Yeah, so I'm going to start doing exercise.
Both.
Cut back on beer and try and eat healthier.
I haven't had a beer all week.
Me neither.
Same.
Oh no! I had one on Monday.
I didn't.
I haven't.
I haven't had any booze since Sunday.
I've been invited for one tonight. I don't know what to do.
Have a gin and tonic, healthy.
Slimline tonic.
Mm.
I probably will only drink at weekends. I think that's my thing. Anyway, this is boring. Let's crack on.
Yep.
With the proper news of this year, and the first piece is that Ubisoft sent out a questionnaire to a bunch of people who'd been playing Far Cry 4 to canvass their opinion on where they'd like to see the next game set.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some quite interesting suggestions in there. So the first one is, would you like to see Far Cry in a remote Alaskan setting with surviving in extreme wilderness? Now that's a bit... Have you played Far Cry 4?
No, not yet. I've seen a lot of it.
So there's a Himalayas level in there, which is very much like that. You're battling the cold, and you've got to keep oxygenated. That's the word. I don't know. But that feels like a bit safe to me. A futuristic sci-fi setting set on another planet. That just sounds like Destiny.
Yep.
Not interested in that. Far Cry game set in the Vietnam War during the 1960s. Which kind of works because if you think about the world of Kirat, is that it's obviously a war-torn, like a civil war-torn place.
Mm.
But it's, you know, very much drug-fueled, which could work for the whole kind of 1960s.
Yeah.
Well, will it not be quite similar then?
Yeah, but one set in, you know, kind of, you know, Nepal and the Himalayas, this would be...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess you'd see similar kind of animals and stuff like that. Mm. One set in the cocaine trafficking jungles of Peru. That does sound quite similar.
That sounds quite cool.
Yeah. This one, where you fight against or join vampires.
Yep. Obviously.
That's very different.
Logical.
I know.
Predictable.
It doesn't make any sense.
Mm. Were these ideas, did they come straight from...
Yeah, Ubisoft sent out, like, which of these would you like to see?
Right.
Tick, 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 tick,
okay.
Or whatever it might be. So they're obviously kind of thinking about potential different environments. And at least it's a bit different from Assassin's Creed, where it's just like, it's the same thing, but in a different location. Well, I guess this is going to be the same thing, but different location. But anyway... A Far Cry game that's set during a zombie outbreak. Please, no. Don't want that. Spaghetti Western style set in the 19th century Americas.
Sounds interesting.
But sounds like Red Dead.
Yeah.
Anyway, lots of other suggestions. But
Croydon in the mid-90s?
That's not on there.
I would have been in it.
There is a sequel to Blood Dragon, which was really, really good. That was the kind of DLC version of Far Cry 3 that came out in the kind of neon 80s sort of style thing. That was really good. Mad Max style post-apocalyptic world, no. But the one that everybody will surely click on is present day on a Jurassic Park style island of dinosaurs. Now that,
definitely,
I would play the shit out of.
Yeah.
And if you didn't vote for that, if you got this and you didn't vote for it, then I hate you.
So most people voted for that one?
Well, we don't know.
Did they say they'll definitely do what gets voted? Or is this just...
No, but it's more a kind of, you know, canvassing opinion from people who love Far Cry. And I love Far Cry. But that world, and we said it for Far Cry 3, and the same goes for Far Cry 4, it's so well set up for a Jurassic Park style thing. I would love for it to be the official Jurassic Park.
Do you think this is one of those PR exercises then where they've decided to do the dinosaur thing next? And they said, let's get people on board and make people feel like they're involved by doing this, suggesting 10 average things, putting one really cool thing in there. We'll release the results and show to everyone, we listen to you, we're doing what you've asked us to do.
Maybe. Around Far Cry 3, it came up. I can't remember how the rumour came up, but it was like, they are planning to do something with dinosaurs. And it turned out that it was Blood Dragon.
Right.
So rather than dinosaurs, they were just kind of big lizards with things on their heads that fired lasers or whatever it was. I can't remember. But so I don't know if it's just a continuation of that rumor. I don't know. I'd love to see it. I think it's too much of a risk there. Mm. Unless it was the official Jurassic Park game.
Is it too close to Jurassic Park or Jurassic World to actually have the right to be there?
Oh, they wouldn't be able to turn that game around in... I wouldn't have thought so, no.
Yeah.
That'd be an amazing way to make a good movie game.
Yeah.
By them just teaming up with someone who's already making the games and just...
But I think...
Adapting the license.
The only problem you would have there is that... Yeah, you know, actually it depends on what the story is for Jurassic World. But the only thing it might have in common is that it's set on an island that looks a bit like the one in the movie or something like that. It's got the same dinosaurs. The story might have nothing to do with it. But then again, I don't really mind that.
No, no, not at all.
As long as it's a good game first.
Exactly. A good game, good film, we're all happy.
But, you know, I still think it's interesting. Mm. You know, it might not be true. They might completely ignore all this and make their own game, whatever they want to do anyway. But, you know, Far Cry 4 was probably one of my favourite games of last year. And I'd love to kind of see them do something a bit kind of bigger and more ambitious, and I think a dinosaur game would be exactly that.
Maybe we should do something like this about the podcast.
Do you what, like ask for our,
where do you want to see the podcast set?
We can do it against the green screen and
anyway. We got this wall or that wall, can't shoot against that wall because we'd be behind,
they could,
behind the camera.
They could say on the Millennium Wheel we could do it,
but
we
so you have to record it wheel. In a single rotation. And otherwise, just as it's coming down, it's like, oh my god, we've got to get all the gear off. It'll take about like 5 minutes to set up.
Yeah, what if someone sweat? No, we'll just do two goes round.
Oh, it's expensive.
I
bet you have to get off to go back on again as well. You haven't thought this through.
No, I mean, I'm riffing here.
And we just stand there and try and hold the doors closed as we try and record another bit.
Refuse to get off. Right.
Next piece of news.
I have the next piece of news. So we've got a new Nintendo DS Special and Ambassadors Edition.
Put your teeth in.
Yeah, I know. What I was going to do is I was going to read it as it was. And I thought,
do you want me to tell you what it is?
Yeah,
so Nintendo, people who are loyal to Nintendo, they are being rewarded by being able to purchase an exclusive Ambassador's Edition version of the new 3DS.
Yes.
Which doesn't come out for another few weeks, you see. So not only are you getting the new console first, but you're getting, it's white and it's got kind of gold lettering on it. I don't actually think it looks all that. But
it's for select club members, it's not for all of them.
And it's Nintendo hasn't revealed what the criteria are for receiving it. And I've seen a lot of people moaning on Facebook and Twitter saying that, you know, they've been fans of Nintendo for a long time, they've been part of the VIP club for a long time, and but they haven't got the invite, so it's a bit weird.
I guess presumably they don't have enough consoles to dish out to everyone.
I know that, but I know one of my friends who is probably one of the most hardcore people into Nintendo ever. He didn't get an invite,
right?
But yet one of his friends who appears to be more casual did, and it's all a bit like. And I think that's what's frustrating people. They don't actually know how people are being picked.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just a case of that they're being picked over the course of a few days and those people just haven't got their invites yet. But anyway, I think it's quite a nice thing to do. Yeah. It's Europe only at the minute. I'm sure it will come to the US as well.
It looks pretty good. And obviously, if you are into Nintendo, then you're going to want that.
They will be worth some serious money.
A bit like the silver PS4s or PS1 PS4s.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, so if you got one, then let us know what you think, because we did speak to Nintendo about getting one here, but we haven't. I've got a normal 3DS, though.
One of the new ones?
The new ones, yeah.
What do you think of it so far?
The battery life is good. We've kind of covered it in the review that we did out of the Aussie office.
Mm.
But the battery life is good. I do kind of get that feeling that if you've already got a 3DS and there's nothing wrong with it, I don't really understand why you would pay all the extra money for it.
Mm. Because the extra little analog stick?
I haven't used it yet.
Mm.
And so the one thing that is better about it is the 3D, is that the camera basically tracks your face now. So if you move, if you're on the train and it moves, you would have gone out of focus on the old 3DS, whereas it readjusts. Okay. Now, the only problem you've got with that is that it's handheld, so you're moving around all the time. The screen readjusts all the time, so it goes out of focus anyway to readjust. So I kind of turn the 3D off as I normally do.
Yeah, it's quite a commuter device as well, isn't it? So that's quite difficult.
But the battery life is much, much better. Like, I've been playing a game that I'm not allowed to talk about, but I'm sure anybody who... Well, there's a 3DS game that's coming out soon. And it's I haven't had the problem where the console shuts down and you lose your save, which happened all the time on my old one.
Right.
Haven't had that at all.
Cool.
So
awesome.
And I'm using the XL version rather than the old 3DS. So the big screen does look good.
Yeah.
But if you've got one already, I'm not sure.
Nice. I don't have one actually. I don't have an XL anyway, so
no.
Might be worth getting the new one for me.
Yep.
What if you've got trainers that you have to lace up yourself?
Well, soon, this year. Well, and it was predicted how many years ago that this day would come?
This is 89?
Yeah. So, the prophecy made way back when that Nike would release a pair of self-lacing trainers.
Back to the Future prophecies.
Is gonna come true.
Is it now?
It is. So, according to Nike, the guy's got a really crazy name. His name is... Where is it? Oh, gosh.
Nike?
No, the guy who designs all this... I had it here. Tinker Hatfield.
That's a great name.
Exactly, right? So Tinker Hatfield, who is the company's designer, Nike's company's designer, said that the Nike Mags, which are the boots in Back to the Future 2, will come out this year with self-tying laces. So they released them a few years ago just as the boot itself, without self-tying laces.
Yeah.
But this year...
How?
Tie them. I don't know.
Yeah, how do they work?
What's the tech behind it? Tell us more about the story.
Well, all he said was... He tweeted saying, this year it's going to happen.
Wow.
He didn't say, through a combination of using this kind of different material.
That's what I want to know.
Well, I don't know. He's not going to give away his trade secrets on Twitter, is he?
Some kind of memory wire. You know, you can get that memory wire. If you heat it up, it goes back into the shape.
Do you know what it's more likely to be, I would have thought, is that the laces are there, you put your foot in there, press a button, and all it does is goes, constrains it. It's not actually going to tie itself, is it?
Nah, yeah, it could look like it. I don't know, maybe. That's quite cool.
It's not going to actually tie it.
Do you reckon you'll get some?
They'll be really expensive.
I'm Adidas. I haven't bought Nike in 25 years.
You're one of the biggest Back to the Future fans.
I am. I might do that. Yeah. It's so geeky, though, isn't it?
Can I just say, could you imagine Tilly wearing... Hang on a minute. Oh, they've gone.
I think I already can.
I know what they look like.
A pair of those. You'd look ridiculous.
No way. All right, I'm not going to wear them.
I want to see that.
I can only imagine.
Wear them in the office. I'd wear them in the office.
Honestly. But the ones that came out a few years ago without self-tying laces, they are worth a fortune now.
Yeah.
I saw a pair over Christmas, and it's either $2,000 or $4,000.
They made the ones for charity as well that you could buy like about a year ago. That went to, I think they went to Michael J. Fox's.
Well, maybe it was the same ones.
Yeah,
then.
I think it's the one they were. Oh, no,
you are right.
His Parkinson's charity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, there you go. So
that's why they were a fortune, because they were very limited edition and they were.
But yeah, I saw there was I think it was a US trainer store selling a pair, and they come in this kind of cool. Well, you can see it there, cool box, and you get like a radioactive kind of almost like a flux capacitor thing that comes.
Yeah. I mean, I might wear them if Nike sent me a pair.
I don't think that's
if Tinker's listening.
Tinker.
that's awesome news.
That's a hell of a name, right?
That's awesome news. I think I'm worried, though, about the Back to the Future features that are going to happen this year. Everyone's going to be at it, aren't they? You know what? That's part of the reason I did mine last year. Yeah. I did my big 10 things you didn't know about Back to the Future feature. Mm. Part of the reason is I knew that this year everyone would be just going
to
town.
Just because you got the year wrong.
No, that was total film.
Like most of the internet.
That was really? Total film. Yeah, 2 years ago, they did a big news story about this is the day when that Marty travels forward to in 2013.
That seemed to happen quite a lot, that stuff.
Yeah. It was total film was the one that went viral, because they're like a well-respected film site, and they did this news story. And then they kind of pretended, oh, yeah, it was just a joke. We were just fooling you. No, you weren't. You got this wrong by 2 years.
That's pretty bad.
There was a thing on Reddit as well where people just kept changing the date, like photoshopping it.
Of course, yeah.
So one knew for sure.
What is the actual date?
Oh, I don't know. October 85.
So it's October.
October 31st? October 13th?
We don't know.
Yeah, whatevs.
I have the next piece of news.
Do it.
Yes? Good?
Go on.
Okay. Sony has delayed the sales of PS4 in China. So it's meant to come out on January the 11th. And
next week?
Yep, and now it's gone back.
By how long?
They haven't said, actually. So... the company has yet to confirm the new launch date, with a company source telling Reuters there were various issues involved.
Reuters.
How do you say it?
Reuters.
Reuters.
Yeah. Rooters.
Okay. Rooters.
That sounds like some kind of like...
strip club?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, like some kind of like shop in the US where...
That's just what I've got in my head.
Yes, anyway.
So yeah, there's various issues involved that prolonged the negotiations with the Chinese authorities, partly led to the delay.
That's crazy that it's still not out there.
Yeah. And I didn't actually know that there was a 14-year ban on foreign consoles. And that only got lifted last year.
Yeah. That's why it's coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But it's crazy. Because obviously in China you get a lot of like imitation iPads. They've even famously got an Apple store in somewhere in China that's not actually an Apple store.
Wow. Mm.
And you go in there and you buy knockoff goods and all that. And I wonder if you can already buy PS4s that aren't actually PS4s. I don't know.
I'd imagine so. Guess they just don't have the same look or branding. Yeah, but a lot of the mimics are quite good, aren't they?
But that's it. Apparently all the iPad stuff that you buy in the fake Apple store looks exactly like it. And it's only when you do kind of performance tests or this, that and the other that you realise it's not the same.
Isn't most of the stuff made in China? But it's not sold?
Well, I think that is the case with Apple. I don't know about... I don't know where PlayStations are manufactured. Right.
Interesting.
But yeah, you would assume that if the consoles aren't available, the games aren't available, but you would have to...
Yeah.
Naughty, naughty.
Bad.
But yeah, I wonder, I can't imagine it being a huge success over there.
No?
No, but just because, well, again, this is purely from what I've seen on social media. It just feels like the black market is so strong, you know, through piracy, through buying fakes and this, that and the other, that, you know, for it to succeed through the official channels. And if I remember rightly, it was going to be quite expensive.
Yeah, I think it worked out to be $486 or something. So...
That's not actually that expensive.
Isn't that... What's the current dollar price for PS4?
I have no idea.
I'll look it up quick.
But anyway, is the Xbox One already out?
They pushed back the Xbox One in September.
So basically neither of them are out yet.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess they haven't got any kind of new gen consoles.
And do you know what? IGN's not in China yet. But we might be soon.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Fancy working in the Chinese office?
We don't have any consoles to play, but...
Well, we can take our own.
For a month? Yeah, the film market over there is booming.
Is it?
Yeah. Excuse me. As it is in Indonesia.
There you go.
Which is exciting because three Indonesian actors have just been cast in Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens.
Three actors from the Raid movies. So
I've never seen a Raid movie.
Oh my word, you need to sort that out.
You really should, yeah.
Maybe I will for the flight over to San Francisco.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. Yeah. They're pretty awesome. So Iko, who is the star of the Raid movies, who plays Rama in both films, has been cast. And then the actor who plays Mad Dog in the first film, who's quite memorable because he has the big fight with Iko at the end. And then the actor who plays the assassin in the second film, who has the big fight with Iko at the end, which is... probably the best fight in both movies, I would say. That one in the kitchen.
Yeah.
All three of them are going to be in Star Wars. We've heard this from Todd Brown at Twitch Film. And I know Todd, and he's probably... Because he's the only one that's broken this. But he, as well as being a film journalist, he produced the Raid movie, so he knows these guys.
Ah, okay.
So he wouldn't be sticking his neck on the line here if he wasn't sure about it.
He produced them, and he's a film journalist.
Yeah, it's a bit... If you look at the Raid poster, the quote at the top of it, it's saying it's the best action film of the decade or something, is from Twitch Films.
Wow, that's dodgy.
Bit cheeky.
So it's not known who they'll play yet, so we're now speculating whether they'll be goodies or baddies. Or...
Yeah.
All the shooting's done, though. Isn't it for episode 7?
Yeah, but there might there might be second unit stuff that they haven't done. But equally, there might be quite a few actors that they've not said anything about.
But it could also be CG, presumably. You know, they could be like ping pong balled up to the eyeballs.
Yeah,
and then do their thing as robots or whatever they might be. Yeah. Who knows? I don't know.
Performance capture.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting because you know J.J. Abrams is a big. J.J. Abrams is a big proponent of physical rather than digital stuff. So bringing in three guys who can do these tricks without any wires, let alone needing CG.
They not use wire?
They probably will, but when you watch these guys in the Raid, it's all about them doing the stuff without any of that.
Right.
There's hardly any wire work in the Raid, if there is any at all. So
is it English language, the Raid?
No.
Because I wonder, like, will they have speaking parts in...
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like though when they cast Ray Park, I guess, in Star Wars. He was English, but they didn't use his voice, no. So they probably wouldn't use their voices. I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, I'm guessing they kind of are just being hired because they're so famous for their fighting.
Yeah, for the physicality.
Yeah,
but yeah, you probably won't actually see them doing their thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or you might. We just don't know.
We don't know.
That's pretty cool. It's pretty exciting because all three of them are awesome performers.
Yeah, I really like the raids. I thought they were brilliant.
Yeah.
So I've seen Dread. Which is apparently the same as the raid anyway.
It's a similar storyline, basically. Yeah. It's both, you know, it's people, police going into a building and then working their way up.
Yeah, yeah.
Just coincidence, though.
Right.
And both are thoroughly good movies.
Okay, there you go. I will check it out. So that's it for the news of 2015. Last year, 2014, was a pretty big year. Lots of very big movie releases, lots of big game releases. But I've got a chart of the top 20 entertainment releases of 2014. Now, this is broken down by unit sales, not by hard cash.
Okay.
But what do you think number one is? Now, you know. So you
I do know.
Say.
I do know.
So,
what was the biggest entertainment release of 2014, Rich Bear Park?
Biggest release.
But this isn't nothing to do with what's in cinemas.
This is retail. That's a good point. Yes.
So,
okay. Can I have my first clue, please?
No, you don't get any clues. You just guess and then we move on. Otherwise, people are going to get bored.
I'm drawing a blank already. What came out 2014?
Well, if you ever guess, then I can tell you whether you're hot or whether you're cold.
No, let it go, Alex.
Thank you, Chris. I'm going to guess Frozen.
Well done, Rich. I don't know how you got that.
Didn't that come out in 2014?
It came out. In 2013, but retail. Yeah. Retail. Came out tail end of 2013.
Okay. Right, got you.
In the cinemas, but obviously last year was when it went mental.
Okay. Frozen number one. Yeah.
Frozen number one with unit sales of, so this is UK, by the way, just over 4 million unit sales.
Wow.
Which is quite a lot. Number two. Now, I don't think you know, do you know number two or not?
No, I don't know. I don't know any others.
So this is, bear in mind, this is a mix of home ents, so DVDs, Blu-rays, music, video games.
Video games. GTA 5?
No. Because that came out the year before.
Yeah.
You're not very good at this.
I keep forgetting when things have come out. Last year went so far.
Call of Duty?
Is close. That came in at number three.
Assassin's Creed?
No.
FIFA?
Very good. The game that unites everyone.
Yeah, aren't FIFA and COD there or thereabouts every year?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a given.
And that's the thing, right? So Frozen did 4 million units. FIFA did 2.6 million. But obviously, FIFA is a lot more expensive.
Mm.
You know, you're going to be paying 40, 45 quid for that.
Mm.
So I do wonder, and I don't have these numbers, but I wonder if that actually pulled in more revenue than Frozen. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So interestingly, the difference between FIFA and Call of Duty was, how many is that? 800,000 units, which is a lot.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's a heck of a lot, because so that just goes to show, Call of Duty, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, was the world's biggest entertainment release.
Yeah.
Beating all other kind of films, music, everything. But now it's slipped down to number three, and, you know, quite a long way behind FIFA. Number four, you'll never guess number four.
Is it music?
Yes.
Pharrell Williams?
No. I would never have guessed this.
It's not going to be the Frozen soundtrack, is it?
No.
Well, this year has been the year of the... last year, rather, was the year of the solo male singers, English singers.
Ed Sheeran?
You're good at this.
Yeah,
Sheeran. You're good at this, yes.
Ah.
Ed Sheeran.
I couldn't even tell you a single track off that album.
Oh, I like it. I really like it. Yeah.
Ed Sheeran and Sam Smith.
Oh, he does all those pubs, doesn't he, with all the cheap...
is he called Sam Smith?
Sam Smith, yeah. Right. Or I call him Sad Smith. He's always sad in everything I see him in.
Yeah. What do you call Ed Sheeran?
Just Ed Sheeran, yeah. Mainly.
Why don't you call him Red Sheeran? Because he's always ginger.
Oh, very good.
Because he's one of mine. He's one of my own.
Is that why you like him?
Yeah. We have to support each other.
Right.
Very difficult times.
Was he that popular before he teamed up with Pharrell?
Yes.
That's the only song that I know.
Yeah, because his first album was also massively successful and like best-selling of the year, I think.
I honestly couldn't tell you a single song by Ed Sheeran. Number five. In five.
I don't know. I think you need... Should we just throw out names and stuff?
Right,
we think
you're
the top 20 or tell us...
It's a movie.
Yeah.
Guardians.
No.
X-Men.
X-Men's not on there at all.
Captain America.
No.
In-Betweeners.
No. Right, let me give you a clue.
Hold on, what about Lego?
Oh, no, that's in top 10, but we're not there yet.
Hobbit.
Yes. Very good.
Smaug.
Ah, oh, nice. See, my clue was going to be you're thinking too big.
I wouldn't have got that.
Oh, come on, that's a great clue.
I haven't seen it.
Well, it's Hobbit. They're small.
But it's about a big dragon. Oh, speed this up, come on.
It's called The Hobbit. All right, number six, GTA.
Okay.
Five, which kind of makes sense. So, obviously, we saw the next-gen versions of that come out in November last year.
Yep.
So I'm sure that was buoyed a lot by that. Now, number seven, Sam Smith.
Okay.
In The Lonely Hour.
Already called it.
Yeah.
Sad, isn't it?
George Ezra.
What's that?
He's another musician.
He's another singer who's had a good year.
Budapest.
He's number 20, Wanted on Voyage. I've never heard of any of these people. Now this is really sad. So let's go. Number eight, Lego Movie. Number nine, Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Now number 10. This is the biggest travesty ever. Think of all those stupid people out there in the world. And if you are listening to this podcast and you're one of the people that went to, you paid for this, then I'm just baffled.
I think I reckon this might have come up in our discussion, a video we did in the week about the most successful British films of the year.
Yeah.
Is it a British film?
It is.
Oh dear. I know what it is, I think. It's Mrs. Brown's.
It is.
It's Mrs. Brown's Boys, the movie.
The top 10.
Well, it's the most popular sitcom in the UK, and it's
how?
I think the second most comedy of the year and the most successful comedy of the year. So,
it had the highest ratings on Christmas Day.
Yeah. That is.
It got higher than the Queen's speech.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. Who watches the Queen's speech?
I don't know anyone watches the Queen's speech.
I don't actually watch that.
Yeah, but was your reference point.
I think that's quite a good thing to kind of compare it to, though, because I'd rather watch the Queen's speech than Miss Brown's Boys.
Queen's speech is normally funnier. So.
Yeah.
Oh, honestly, I watched a bit of it and it was so painful.
What, hey, the movie?
No, Christmas Day. And then also last night, the last show of Miranda was on.
Yep.
And that TV show is just not funny.
Terrible, isn't it?
It's just not funny.
You're upsetting a lot of listeners.
I don't
now,
care. I've got my own opinion. Now, number 11. Now, that's what I call music 89.
Okay. My favourite outline of the year.
I'm amazed, though, that I didn't realise they still sold so well.
I know.
Mm. Well, especially in this day and age of Spotify and stuff. Yeah. You don't need to buy that, do you?
Yeah.
But
I guess people that have always bought them.
Kids as well don't. So
iTunes. I just think I didn't realize compilations were still a thing.
It's that thing, like the stuff that Scarlett will listen to is I could either go and buy each individual track, or for paying an extra not very much more on iTunes, I can get 20 or 40 tracks for the similar price. Mm. So, number 12, Guardians of the Galaxy. Number 13, Frozen, the original soundtrack. So number one, Frozen, that was purely
DVD, Blu-ray.
Incredible. DVD and Blu-ray, yeah. So it's crazy. Gravity, number 15. Mm. Number 16, Wolf of Wall Street.
Yep.
Number 17, In-Betweeners, which I think is pretty good because that didn't come out till really near Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas release, yeah.
Mm.
So that was obviously a lot of kind of stocking fillers, that kind of thing. Watch Dogs, number 18. Now that's what I call music, number 88.
What?
Was number 19. So there was obviously, 89 was the one to get because that came out later, but sold more.
But what? So presumably 88 was the year before, wasn't it? Or do they not release one a year?
No, I don't think it works like that.
Oh, I don't know.
When was the last time you bought a Now? I haven't.
Probably when I was 11.
There you go.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're going to do for number 100. Who knows? And then number 20, George Ezra.
So a good year for Disney princesses and male singer-songwriters.
And Irish people that dress up.
Cross-dressers.
Yeah, exactly. So why didn't the Harry Hill movie have the same level of success as Mrs. Brown's?
Oh, it's a good question. It's a good question.
The movie, sorry.
I guess that the sitcom's bigger than his show. But yeah, it's a good question. I don't know why one hit and one didn't. I didn't see either of them, so I can't speak of them critically.
And I can't imagine going to the cinema. I guess this was... How big was it at the cinema?
What, Mrs. Brown? Yeah. It was big. It's about 15th most successful film of the year in the UK.
Wow.
Something like that.
And it probably cost about 12 million. Literally nothing
to
make.
Yeah.
My dad loves it. And
really?
I have a lot of respect for my dad, but when he said he liked that, it was... bit of a letdown, to be honest. But he's the kind of person who would never go to the cinema to see it, but he would definitely buy it on DVD.
Really?
In fact, I think he got two copies of it this Christmas on DVD.
Well, it's lucky, his fault that it's made it into the top 10.
It is. Yeah.
Lucky man.
So anything on there that, well, you didn't expect to be on there? I guess, like the Nows.
Yeah, but that was just through not knowing the market, I guess.
Yeah. Well, anything that you feel should have been on there? No, yeah, I've read it out, so you can look at the list now.
Yeah.
Anything that I'm surprised about, mainly I can talk about the films. Not really. I mean, it's the biggest films from the year before. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that the cool thing as a film fan is that Wolf of Wall Street's on here.
Yeah.
Because studios have kind of stopped making 18-rated films for grown-ups. You know, you get 18-rated horror films, yep. Even then they're 15s, but it's just stopped. And when we grew up, they were some of the biggest films that would come out. Fatal Attraction, Science.
That wasn't an 18, was it?
Yeah.
Was
Fatal Attraction was okay. A hard 18.
It's a long time since.
Sex and violence and Science of the Lambs, just films for grown-ups. Yep. And I think there's been this fear by studios to make them because they'll cut out such a big market. And so they're trying to make every film to hit the four quadrants, as they call them.
Yeah.
And this year, Wolf of Wall Street and Gone Girl have both been hugely successful. Wolf of Wall Street is the most successful 18-rated movie since Hannibal in the UK.
Wow.
And that must be a good 12, 13 years ago at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's a really good sign. I hope this sort of signals...
You're seeing a lot more of that stuff go through to TV now, though, aren't you? Obviously, a lot of stuff you see in Game of Thrones is pushes to the extreme.
Yeah.
And then obviously Hannibal is like properly hardcore.
Yeah.
Even though stuff like Gotham that you want to be a bit more hard-hitting is not.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm just hoping that these kind of mid-range budget films, you know, like a $30, $40 million film, that it shows that they can make a hell of a lot of money if they're done right.
Surely Gone Girl wasn't a mid-range budget film.
No, I think that was... Yeah, you're right. I think that was a bit more. But, you know, they're not effects-driven movies.
No.
It's just drama and the money spent on, you know, getting Ben Affleck or Leonardo DiCaprio.
His tag alone was probably pretty sizable. And I've no idea how much Scorsese film would cost, but it seems like that would be quite high.
I can imagine it'd be high, yeah. He makes one a year, doesn't he, Scorsese?
It does now. But it'll be interesting to see, I guess, although probably we won't be watching it, 50 Shades of Grey will be the next test for that.
Did he make one last year? He didn't, did he? Wall Street was his last
film. Yeah, maybe every 2 years.
Oh, maybe every 2 years. Yeah. So are there any others apart from 50 Shades of Grey that are coming out this year that could
grown
potentially
up ones?
Be
18? I don't know off the top of my head, actually.
It's not 18, is it? I thought it was 50 Shades.
Is it? I don't know.
I think it probably would have to be. Yeah. I think they want to appeal to a huge market.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everyone wants the proper sex, don't they?
I would assume that it's probably going to be implied. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like a full grot version.
Well, wouldn't it be interesting if they did a 15 and 18 rated version and release both cuts and see what would happen?
I would love, like, Ian, the same way that you see 2D and 3D, is that, I think that's a great idea. How do we get that? How do we make that happen?
They do the unrated versions of horror movies for DVD release. Well, that's become a bit of a marketing ploy now.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the gore that you couldn't see in cinemas.
So why is it any different from watching it in cinema than watching it at home?
Hold on. I'm just finding out that... Oh, no. It hasn't got a rating. Hasn't got a rating yet.
Okay.
Intriguing.
Maybe I made that up. So why are they allowed to release uncensored versions at home but not... at the cinema?
I'm not sure.
Is it because if you're watching an uncensored version in the cinema, you're more likely to stab the person next to you, whereas at your home, it doesn't matter?
I think there are different...
I'm sure
there's different laws apply to what the cinemas can show to what you can watch on home.
That's crazy.
Yeah. No, maybe I'm wrong then.
I don't know. But maybe it is purely a marketing ploy.
Yeah, I think that's what it is mostly.
Boo.
Any game stuff, though, that's of interest there?
It's all the kind of it's stuff that you would expect. But I think the interesting thing is that it just highlights the gap. Now, I think, you know, again, reiterating, this is units. It's not actual cash made because I think games tend to be a lot more expensive than any of these kind of things. So I think if it was based on actual revenue or profit, then you would see a lot more up there. But I just think it goes to show that, you know, there aren't actually that many that break in there. Like the fact that Watch Dogs made it, I was quite surprised by.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, before that came out, there was so much excitement because when that was originally announced, well, it was coming out with the next-gen consoles, there was nothing else out there, so pre-orders was through the roof. I don't think you'll see that with Watch Dogs 2.
It seems like FIFA and Call of Duty are always going to be in there.
FIFA is the both those games are the games that are played by people who don't play games.
Yeah.
Right? So, And the other thing that it doesn't take into account there, actually, is iOS stuff. Because I wonder where, I don't know, Flappy Bird would
be.
Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Now surely that's, although that's...
In terms of units, free? It's huge.
It's free, isn't it, Candy Crush?
And I, then you, I don't know.
Macrotransactions?
I guess so. But isn't it, would that not count towards sales anyway?
I don't know, but if it's free, that feels a bit, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you could, I don't know.
I do have, just talking about the UK and global box office as well, which this doesn't include.
Yeah.
So, globally, Transformers Age of Extinction was the biggest movie of the year by quite some distance, over $200 million. It's the only film that crossed $1 billion this year.
Wow.
Guardians was second, Maleficent, X-Men, Hobbit.
I'm surprised by Maleficent.
Yeah, that's been a huge breakout hit. Like, right. Disney have really had a huge, made a huge amount of money out of that one. And so with them having that in Guardians, it's been a really good year for Disney because those are two films that could have tanked.
Mm.
And then Home Ends on Frozen, which let's face it. So, sorry to go on about Frozen. Yeah. There was a program about it on over Christmas.
Saw that, like, yeah.
Really interesting because the expectation really wasn't there at all.
Mm.
And they had the kind of film plot in place. And then the people who... So the people who wrote a lot of the songs were the people who wrote the songs for Book of Mormon, which I never realised. And obviously the guy who played was whoever in Book of Mormon plays Olaf.
Yeah.
But it was all around Let It Go. They had a story up till then, and it was going in one direction as Elsa being the evil queen.
Mm.
And then Let It Go came out and they turned it on its head and it was about her... You know, empowering herself and all this kind of stuff. So they basically rewrote the script.
Wow,
which was quite interesting.
Same thing as Toy Story, wasn't it? Originally, Woody was going to be like the evil kind of toy,
right?
And then they had one of those sessions that they have at Disney, where everyone kind of gives all their feedback, and they turned it on their head again.
Yeah, but it was really interesting. And then because the first part was really about the film, and then the second part was then showing the impact it's had on. And I've seen it firsthand how crazy.
Yeah,
girls go for it. It's insane. I've seen nothing like it. Like Scarlett, we got her a portable karaoke machine for Christmas, and Frozen was one of the CDs. And she literally just walks around the house screaming, "Let It Go." And it's like, oh my god!
Wow, you say you got that for us?
We did. Yeah,
we should get that on camera. We should get that on camera. That'd be a good video.
Yeah, but YouTube, there's a million.
There's a million.
Yes.
Yeah. But interestingly, the UK chart versus the global chart for the year. So the biggest film of the year globally, Transformers, not in the top 10 in the UK.
Good.
Good. The number one film in the UK for the year, Lego Movie, not in the top 10 globally.
Mm.
That's crazy.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know why it's not in the top 10 globally, but I'm amazed that Lego's the biggest film of the year here.
Yeah.
That's huge. Hobbit is just behind it, and to be honest, we're talking a calendar year, and Hobbit will overtake it in terms of total gross.
Yeah.
But in the calendar year,
top two are Warner films.
Yep. So they've had a good year in the UK. Yeah. In between was the third biggest film of the year in the UK. And what I'm really pleased to see is Paddington has made a huge amount of money.
Right.
It's on 27.9 million. It's currently number seven, but I think it's made another 3 million. So
again, that only came out just before Christmas.
So that's going to make a huge amount of money. It'll do well on Home Ends, and there'll be sequels. And
that's really good because I had very low expectations in that film. Like even from when they announced they were doing a Paddington movie, to even going in to see the screening, which I then left 40 minutes later,
just
a child being inconsolably crying. But from what I saw of it, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it's a really good movie.
It's really cute, isn't it?
And it's Studio Canal who released it, who released a lot of very good movies every year, and it's by far the biggest hit they've ever had.
Right.
And they've done it, or they've financed it themselves, so they'll be very happy. It's interesting, it's out in the States next week.
Still not
so
out.
We'll see if it does have crossover appeal in the way that, because obviously it's the same producer as Potter. You know, could it weave the Potter magic?
Yeah.
Mm.
This very English tale.
Is Big Hero 6 out here yet?
No, not yet.
Still not out.
No. Close. It's half about a week away, isn't it?
Is it a week away?
I think so. I think
can't be half term. Scarlett's only just gone back to school on Monday. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah. But the overall, the UK box office was down 3% on the year before.
Right.
But I just think it's because it just wasn't a good year for big releases.
Was Interstellar in there at all?
Not in the UK. Globally, it came in at number 10.
Right, okay.
But this year will be the biggest year on record. I'm going on record to say that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because you've got four potentially billion-dollar movies. Yeah.
How many do you normally get in a year?
A couple.
Right.
So there's one this year, maybe a couple last year. I think I'm sure that four will make a billion.
next year, and there's a chance that 5 or 6 might.
Yeah.
But you got Spectre, Jurassic World, Star Wars, and Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Huge, yeah.
Yeah. It's a big year this year. Very exciting.
Am I allowed to say I'm not actually that excited for Age of Ultron?
You're allowed, you can say whatever you want.
I will be lambasted, I'm sure. Huh? The other three films I'm more excited about seeing.
Yeah.
In those four.
I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the Jurassic World trailer.
Right.
I think Age of Ultron, I probably want to see more than Jurassic World.
Yeah, is it like I enjoyed the first Avengers, and I could see why it's a good film. But it just left me, same with Guardians, if I'm honest. I watched it and I was like, okay, I probably will never watch them ever again.
You're just waiting for Frozen 2.
I am. Cannot watch. Do you know what? I thought Finding Dory was out this year, and then I checked and it's next year.
No, but I think there's two Pixar movies this year, so which is because we didn't have a Pixar movie last year. We've got the good Dinosaur Inside Out.
Yeah, but I want Finding Dory.
I forgot to say this as well. On the Frozen tip, Sky Movies tweeted today, it's the biggest premiere they've ever had on Sky Movies. 5 million views in the first week on Sky. I don't know what other figures are like.
Crazy.
But, yeah.
Like, honestly, Frozen is just next level shit, man.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenon.
And they are doing Frozen 2, aren't they?
Yeah, What's Her Face came out and said it.
Yeah, and there's a stage show and an ice thing and everything.
That was brilliant. Actually, in the show, did you see that, where they had the stage show or like sing-along in theatres here? And it was like the two princess queens.
I've never even seen Frozen. It literally was like that.
Oh, kids just really like Frozen?
Because I wondered.
It's crazy.
What's that accent, Rich?
I don't know. I don't know.
Wondered whether it was officially licensed or whether they just did it.
That's what I
thought. It was on the official Frozen program, so it must have been.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't think that Disney realised it would do that kind of stuff. Because for the first 9 months of last year, as you all know, I spent my entire life in Disney stores trying to find Frozen stuff. And then in the 3 months up to Christmas, they'd obviously got their marketing stuff into gear and it was just everywhere. It's crazy.
Let it go, Alex.
I will. How many times are you going to make that joke?
Should we do the reader feedback?
Yes.
Okay, I've got the first piece from James Martin, who says, Duck Hunt and Happy New Year. With excitement building for the new Star Wars film, my ears pricked up the other day when I seen an advert for a weekly magazine with parts to build an authentic one-to-one model of the Millennium Falcon. I bought the magazine at $2.99 and was impressed with the quality parts and what you'll be getting and info contained inside the magazine itself. However, for you to have the complete model, it's 100 issues at a regular price of $8.99. That works out at £893 for the model with just under 2 years to complete. What are your thoughts, or are these types of subscriptions a total waste of money and time?
I hate those things.
It's a lot of money, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. You could buy a real Millennium Falcon for that much.
It's balls, isn't it?
It is absolute horse crackers. Imagine spending £1,000 or just shy of £1,000.
Yeah.
If you'd have bought, Lego did a UCS version of the Millennium Falcon in 2007. And I think that was 250 or 350 quid. But if you want to buy one now, they're thousands of pounds because they're so valuable. Or you could just go and buy that.
My my girlfriend actually recently just got a job marketing for that magazine. So,
well, why don't we get her on the podcast and get her to explain?
Let's get
herself.
Some answers. Well, you give us some answers then, Rich.
Phone her up now.
You've brought this up,
but she hasn't started yet. But
why is this a magazine she wanted to work for?
She should quit before she starts.
Well, they're obviously making quite good money from it. I think they're all right.
But surely, like, episode one sales up there.
Yeah.
Episode two there. By episode 10, magazine number 10, no one's buying it.
Apparently, a lot of people have a lot of these models in their houses and they absolutely love it. There's so many different magazines that you can get as well.
Why would you spend £800 on a
model?
I mean, I
think we've all seen this advert, haven't we?
Yes.
Mm. They've spent a lot of money. This has been on the telly all Christmas, which must have cost a fortune. Don't ask me. Ask Rich. Rich is the expert.
Well, who was it that said that? Oh, no, he said that he's got it. Do you have to paint it? What was his name?
James Martin.
Do you have to paint it?
I don't.
Because obviously you have to build it, but if you have to paint it as well.
The way you could look at it, though, is if it's $8.99 a week, is it? Every 2 weeks?
That's quite a lot of money.
It is, but...
Well, 100 issues.
If you don't go to the pub, you can easily spend a tenner on beer, on like two beers down the pub. And if you don't do that, then that's kind of beer money, isn't it?
Yeah, but why not buy a really good model for about half the price?
Also, you know, that's all very well talking about it.
For 2 years to finish it.
That's all very well. It's a weekly magazine, and that's all very well talking about it in terms of beers. Mm. But the bulk of the adverts I saw were during kids' programs. You know, this they're trying to get kids on board for this, and kids bugging their parents to spend £9 a week.
Yeah. £9 is... But then again, you know, a lot of, like, normal, like, video games mags these days, admittedly monthly, but they're, like, £6, and you get nothing with those, apart from paper.
I don't know. You know what, though? Thinking about it now, I do think if you built this, if you bought them all and built this, it might be worth a fair bit of money one day, yeah. And if you kept it in good order, in good nick.
Yeah. Did you ever have any of those magazines?
Imagine missing one issue. Oh, my God.
I'm sure I did. Nothing springs to mind, really. Except not the ones that you spent a long time putting together.
Yeah. See, I didn't have ones where you built stuff, but I had... I collected... Oh, God, I think it was all about jet fighter. I wanted to be a fighter pilot when I was a kid. So I collected... I think it was called Interceptor, and it was about all these jet fighters, and you'd have big foldouts and...
Yeah.
All
that
kind of stuff. Kind of a bit like Dorling Kindersley does in books now, but back in...
I was more a Zoids person.
Oh, Zoids were good.
Zoids.
Yeah. My flatmate actually did lose an issue once, or didn't lose an issue, just didn't buy the issue 1 week, right. And then couldn't get that part, and he was making a robot. And so a whole year, kind of spent, probably not the whole year, but maybe
you
like must, 5 months into it, and then you miss out a
week. Direct. Mm. You must have been out to
I don't know.
Direct.
I mean, when I had mine, I collected Where's Wally. I've got like the whole Where's Wally folder collection. Right. Don't be jealous. It's pretty special. But
don't know what that is.
Where's Wally?
You know what Where's Wally is.
What's a folder collection?
I don't know. Oh, it was kind of like an educational magazine of like
right.
ancient Egypt, that kind of
you
thing.
You just must have really liked looking at pictures for a bloke in a red and white yeah. jumper.
But I used to get that from the newsagents every week or every couple of weeks, whatever. Never ordered it in, so.
Well, did you never go on holiday? I think this is a big fat con.
There you go.
Yep. next piece of feedback. This is from Mark Waugh. Hi guys, I have a query about the boutique cinema going experience, although I may admit the words boutique cinema do make me cringe a bit, so from this point forward I'll refer to it as Cinegrub experience.
What?
Cinegrub.
Okay.
I don't quite know why. I was hoping Chris might be able to shed some info on that. Okay. he's just made up. So he says, I live in Dorchester and there aren't a great deal of these cinemas around. In fact, none that I'm aware of. So my cinema going experience has largely been targeted at Cineworld and local independent cinema called The Plaza. Directed at you, Tilly. Can you let me know what your favourite cinema experiences are and where the best ones can be found? If needs be, I'll travel to London, but I'm intrigued to know if there are any cinema going experiences that you know of a little closer to Dorchester.
Well, you've sprung that on me.
Where's Dorchester?
Down south.
Kind of southwest.
Is it?
Yeah. You've sprung that on me. I think get yourself on a plane to Austin, Texas and go to the Alamo Drafthouse whenever you want to see a movie.
Why? What's so good?
Because it's
about
the
that?
Best cinema going experience.
Why?
I've spoken about it on the podcast before, but it's where they bring you the food and drink.
Yeah.
And the food's great, the drink's great. They're designed in such a clever way that you don't have to speak to the waiters or even see them. It's all done.
How do you order food then?
There's a menu in front of you and a little bit of paper, and you've got a table in front of you, and you take the menu down, and there's a tiny light under the table, so you can read the menu under the light without anyone else kind of annoying anyone else, and you write down using the light, and then you put your bit of paper there, and the seats are staggered, so there's like a walkway below your seat, and the staff just come by, the wait staff, and they kind of crouch in front of you, they'll look at the bit of paper, and then they'll give you a thumbs up and they'll be gone. All right. And then they'll come back with the food.
So I'm going to see my local cinema, the Rex in Berkhamsted.
Yeah.
Is I've never been before, but apparently it's like you get a table there and you a bar and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I'm going to see Tinkerbell there. Not this weekend, the weekend after.
Right.
So I'll report back and let you know how that is.
Yeah, do. I mean, I've not been to a lot of the kind of expensive boutique cinemas in London, actually. I've been to a few of the hotels that do screenings, and they're lovely. You know, they'll lay them on, and you can pay for them. It costs a bit of money, but like on a Sunday, you can come up and have lunch and a glass of champagne and watch a new movie or a classic movie
hotels actually opened up to the public.
Yeah, they'll do like screenings at the weekend because it's a good way for a good form of revenue.
Yeah.
So that's something to do. I think the Charlotte Street Hotel does it, definitely.
What's the one in Soho? What's that cinema that's...
Soho Hotel. Oh, no.
No, there's a cinema in Soho that I think does like a meal thing as well. Is it the Curzon Rooms? Curzon?
Well, there is a Curzon Soho, cinema, but that's...
there's the Curzon cinema.
That's going to be closed, isn't it?
There's a Curzon, so, yeah. There's a Curzon at a hotel, so maybe that's the one you're thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I haven't been to that. So I don't know. And then the Prince Charles is always good fun for the programming they do, but I don't really like the seats or the sound or the blooming picture there, but you can have a fun...
so just go buy a DVD.
You can have a fun night out. Sorry, couldn't be more helpful, but that was sprung on me.
Yeah, well done, Rich. Rob Porter writes in saying, Chris Tilley. No, he doesn't actually. He just says, Duck Hunt, my most anticipated film is Jurassic World. I loved the first movie when I was 16 and quite happily watched a new one every couple of years. But its best game of 2015 is a bit trickier. The only game that has him even a little bit excited is Scholar of the First Sin, which is the add-on pack for Dark Souls 2. Which I thought, there's a lot of good games coming out this year.
He should talk to Krupa because I think Krupa's similar to him on both counts.
But Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Like, if you like Dark Souls, you should play Bloodborne. If you've got PS4, obviously.
Yeah, but Jurassic World, definitely.
That's my second most anticipated film.
First Star Wars?
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
I got an email from Sam who says, Duck Hunt. He says, Chris Tilley, if you're reading this, you're an idiot. After going back and reading a review of Locke, I must say you're an idiot. After I saw Locke, I was shocked at how much I enjoyed it and appreciated on a technical and emotional level. And your bloody 6.8 I find offensive, and I don't see your other points relevant and why you didn't like it. To the others of the pod, keep up the banter and hope you have a great 2015. And Tilly, you're all right. So that's pretty passive-aggressive, I'd say.
Idiot! Idiot! Okay.
And variety is the spice of life, Sam. It's good that we could all have different opinions.
No.
You've not been particularly... You've not really made clear what you disagree with me on, though, here. You're just saying you disagree. Yep. So maybe if you need to elaborate, really. In more detail, if you're going to take me out. I feel like I backed up my points in that review. I wish I'd liked Locke more. I was quite excited about it, and then I was just a little bit bored.
I watched it recently, and I would agree with you, actually. 6.8 is a fair score.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well acted.
You're an idiot.
I'm an idiot. What are you going to do?
I've got an email from friend of the show, Andrew Voke, saying, Happy New Year. Just thought from the new Ant-Man trailer and Marvel Netflix series, I remember these upcoming TV shows being described as having a gritty 70s film feel. Were they ever described as that?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Right. Do you think that some of it will be... I don't like your highlighter pen. It makes it hard to read.
Sorry.
Do you think that maybe some of it will actually be set in the 1970s? Maybe given the origins of the Kingpin or even some of the crime families like the Magia, for instance. I thought that then that could connect with Hank Pym and Jane... Oh, my God, I can't speak. Jane Van Dyne's early crime-fighting days as the original Ant-Man and Wasp during that time period. It would be an easy and cheap way to show cameos of those characters without bringing Michael Douglas back in.
Yep, no reason why they couldn't do that. I'm sure there'll be flashbacks. There's flashbacks all over the place in the Marvel Universe these days. You know, Agent Carter's got her own show. I think there'll be a flashback to that time in Ant-Man, in fact.
Well, yeah, because you and Krupa dissected the trailer and there was a couple of bits that like lent themselves to being flashbacks, wasn't there?
Yeah, it wasn't so much that. It's just that on the cast list, they've got John Slattery playing Howard Stark,
right?
And which he has done in previous films, and Peggy Carter being in it.
Right.
So although they didn't, it wasn't in the trailer, I think they will. And yeah, there's no reason why all this stuff can't cross over. I think it could be really interesting if it gets super complicated.
Definitely. Yeah. I like the idea of that. I'm really looking forward to Daredevil, actually. We got the release date yesterday, didn't we? Not yesterday.
Yeah, April. Good Amazing. Times.
Be fun. Next piece of feedback. Duck Hunt and Happy New Year from Daryl Sharp. Talking about eagerly awaited games and movies for the coming year, my favourite game is probably going to be, or the game is most looking forward to, is probably going to be Arkham Knight. It's looking so good so far, and I enjoyed the previous releases, so hope the Xbox One can be used to give the game its full potential. Although I wouldn't mind a Bond game to go with the Spectre release. Only if it's worthwhile, though. Knowing film license cash cows, they have had enough time to get the format right and should be able to match GoldenEye by now. So, there you go. Yep, Arkham Knight, I think. That's probably one of my most anticipated games of this year.
It's going to be good.
Really looking forward to playing that.
If you'd have watched last week's podcast and skipped past the drilling bit.
Yes.
We highlighted that as being one of the games of this year.
Oh, there you go. And what do you think about Spectre game? I should have done, yeah. Sorry, Gav should have done.
Yes.
What do you think about a Spectre game?
It's hard to say, right?
Yeah.
The only reason being is because I'm not sure that the new James Bonds lend themselves to video games that well.
Mm.
But obviously, the only, in my opinion, the only truly great Bond game is obviously GoldenEye.
Mm.
But I don't know. We'll see. I don't know anything about Spectre.
Yeah.
Apart from it's got a new car in it and a really moody Christoph Waltz.
Well, there's not enough time to make a good game between now and the film coming out.
Unless,
so.
I bet you somebody will try and. No, but there wasn't a Skyfall game. Was there a Skyfall game? Maybe there was. Maybe it was an iOS game or something like that. Mm. We'll see. Don't know.
Yeah. It says nobody likes you at the top of this.
Yeah, my next piece of feedback says you will die alone.
Oh, mine says you smell like dog sick. So
who the hell's done that?
I would say it's that idiot Welshman.
Okay. I've got an email from Joseph Mitchell who says, "Evening chaps, Duck Hunt. After reading everyone's best of 2014 list and thinking of my own, I felt a lot of indie films were on top this year. The past few years we have seen some really great films come out with overwhelming 80s vibes. I think The Guest was the best film of 2014. Do you think the resurgence of cult genre films worshipping John Carpenter and James Cameron is making a comeback? And will we see a lot of them in 2015? I don't think so. I mean, as anyone that listens to the show knows, I like an indie film. And I really enjoyed The Guest, and I like cult films from the 80s. But I don't think we've got any more happening at the moment than there has been in previous times. There'll always be people who for whom that floats their boat. You know, that's this generation making films, the guys in their late 20s, early 30s, people that grew up with that stuff. So, I don't know of a huge amount happening this year, but they're always going to be bubbling around, and we'll keep covering them because I love all that stuff.
Loves it.
Thanks for the email, Joseph.
Next piece is from Andrew Monahan. I hope I pronounced that right. Hello, pod people, Duck Hunt, and happy 2015. My most anticipated game is Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain.
Mine too.
For mixed reasons. The level of anticipation is as white hot for this game as it... The level of anticipation is as white hot for this game and what it means for the big boss the same way Metal Gear Solid 4 meant for the story of my favourite gaming character, Solid Snake.
Yep. Does that make any sense to you at all?
No.
Good.
No sense. Does it make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay, good. Could the Solid series of games be put into retirement after this game?
No.
If so, would this be Kojima's final involvement with a Metal Gear game? And if so, does the series move forward after a compelling narrative that has nearly been 30 years in the making?
It's not going to finish on this game. Kojima has said for the last God knows how long, every time he finishes a Metal Gear game, he goes, "That's it. I'm never going to do another one." And then a few months later, he goes, "All right, then I'll do another one." Konami lives and breathes for that game. That is the thing that keeps them ticking over. So there's no way that they're going to stop doing Metal Gear.
But could Kojima kind of dip out?
I can't see it happening. He's such a... I don't mean this in a negative way, but that is his vision.
Mm.
And obviously he works with a big team of people, but it just feels like if you've ever watched any of the Kojima Station stuff, he's the person driving that. He's not just the kind of, you know, the public face. It does feel like he's the one that's driving it and pushing it. He's not, and no disrespect, he's not Peter Molyneux.
Mm.
He's really like the driving force behind it, and it's been his baby since the very beginning. So okay. I don't know.
So even if they wanted to make another one, he probably couldn't see it without him being in it.
I think that will probably happen down the line. I don't think that will be the next game.
Okay.
Email from the legendary Jamie Martin, the admin on our lovely Duck Hunt Facebook group, saying, "Just a quick one. I'd like to issue a public apology on behalf of myself for anyone who attempted to join the Facebook group on the morning of today, which is Monday the 5th of January. His phone took a mind of its own and rejected a couple of join requests. Anyway, if you did join or tried to join, he says resend and I'll happily accept, or a more than capable admin will in his place."
So, good stuff.
If you have tried to join the wonderful Duck Hunt group on Facebook and you were rejected, send it again.
I don't know if you saw, but the Duck Hunters, I think they could put it to vote what the Duck Hunters' favourite game of the year was.
Mm?
And they just announced the results just before we came in here.
Uh-huh. And?
I know it already.
South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm sure we'll get an email from them. Maybe we can talk about it a bit more.
So IGN's podcast. Best of 2014 goes live next week on Monday. That's the overall awards. I know what the overall game of the year is.
But I can't say. Flappy Bird.
Well, I can say it's not Stick of Truth.
Can't believe you said that.
I can. So anyway, stay tuned. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about it next week. I think that's it for Reader Feedback.
Yep.
So let's tackle the games out this week. Well, the short of it is there's no games out this week.
And yet you've listed eight of them.
if you let me finish, if you're a PS Plus member, then going live on the 7th, which was earlier this week, you get for free Infamous First Light, which is the expansion to Infamous, which is good. You get Prototype 2 on PS3, DuckTales Remastered on PS3, The Swapper on PS4 and Vita, and one for Dan Kilby, Duke Nukem 3D. He was so excited by that.
Yeah.
He even, bless him, he charged his Vita up especially for it.
Oh, bless him.
But if you haven't got PS Plus, unlucky.
So no games apart from that?
Nothing. Well, January is dry.
Yeah.
Dry January.
They all got battered over the Christmas break, and so they're now taking January off.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Movie-wise, we're in award season now because the Oscar films that came out in America in December are coming out here. So we have Into the Woods coming out, the musical based on the Stephen Sondheim stage musical. And Meryl Streep's in it, James Corden. And we gave it a reasonable review, and I can't remember what the number was. But we said it's an enjoyable musical experience with Disney going in an edgier direction than usual with Fairy Tale. So, yeah, if musicals float your boat, check it
Disney
out.
Disney pump out a lot of films, don't they?
They do.
Wow.
And maybe the more interesting release of the week is Foxcatcher, which unfortunately I haven't been able to catch up with myself yet. But yeah, all three of the lead actors in that are going to be up for awards around awards season. Mark Ruffalo, Channing Tatum and Steve Carell. Mm. Based on a true story, quite bleak, depressing tale of a wrestling team in America. And we said it's a dazzlingly dour Foxcatcher wraps economic hardship around mental illness and pays it off with three incredible performances.
That's easy for you to say.
So if you want to be depressed, I would go and see Foxcatcher, but it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it does look really good. Yeah.
Go to the cinema to be depressed.
Or just go and see Paddington again.
Yeah. Not with a four-year-old. Anyway, that is it. That's our first proper podcast of 2015.
But I will talk about next week's podcast now because it's going to be slightly different. It's not going to be the usual podcast...
I'm not in it.
Template, no. Nor is Rich. Another Alex is, yeah, we've got an Alex Garland special. So Alex Garland wrote The Beach, wrote 20 Days Later, Sunshine, Dread, and he's directed his first movie, Ex Machina, which comes out on January the 21st in the UK. So he's coming in for an hour-long chat with us, and we're going to talk about everything from the new movie to the games he's playing.
He's a big gamer, isn't he?
He's a big gamer.
He was involved in the Halo movie project when that was done.
He was. Yeah. He was involved in... what was the game he did?
Enslaved.
Yeah. I know he's a big Last of Us fan, a big Destiny fan, a big Dark Souls, so we're going to talk to him about that. Find out what's going on with Dread 2, whether or not there'll be another 28 Days Later sequel, hopefully. And Ex Machina, which is a really good film. So we won't be doing Reader Feedback or Out This Week or News or Talking Point, but he's a really interesting guy.
A whole lot more.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's it. Keep your eyes and ears out for that podcast next week. And we hope you enjoy it, and we will see you very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Cheerio.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, And now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that. As well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.